Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
Faithful in little things. We have been created, mankind, to be dependent upon God. Do you ever feel inadequate? You were designed that way. By an intelligent, all-knowing, all-loving God, He intended us to be dependent upon Him. Therefore, life apart from Him was never designed to work. So as we go about our daily living, let us remember, the answer is not within us. The strength is not within us. The strength is in God. And He guides and directs our paths according to His perfect will. Whether we recognize that or not is a different story. Whether we cooperate with that is a different story. But that's really what's going on. Today we want to look at faithful in little things. And I hope today you see the importance of being faithful in little things. Faith and faithfulness are closely related, but they're not totally the same. Faith is something we have in a person or an object. Obviously, the emphasis is in the Christian life, faith in God, but you have faith in the chair you're sitting in. But faithfulness, or being faithful, is something that we do. There's a degree of truth, because if we have faith in God, we need to be faithful to Him. A simple way to define faith is I have faith in God. And a simple way to defining faithfulness is I must be faithful to my responsibilities, or trustworthy, one who can be dependent upon. There are people that when they do not show up for church, you know something's wrong. They're faithful. And so immediately you're ready to get on the telephone. Are you okay? Consider. Arthur Winston was a model of faithfulness to allow his fellow employees at the Metropolitan Transportation Authority in Southern California. Winston was known for his energy, punctuality, and longevity. His co-workers described Winston as a legend they lovingly referred to as Mr. Reliable. Winston worked for the Metropolitan Transportation Authority and its predecessor agencies for 76 years, missing only one day of work in that time to attend his wife's funeral. Recently, less than a month after retiring on his 100th birthday, Winston died in his sleep at home. Family members said that Winston left behind a great legacy. Deputy Chief Executive Officer of the MTA praised Winston's record of service, saying, "Arthur Winston's life of service will stand as an unparalleled example of dedication to principles, commitment to excellence, and pride in the American work ethic." Oh, could Christians be so faithful to their service to the Lord? 76 years, he missed one day. Thus, today our study is faithful in little things. Consider the profound truth set forth in 1 Corinthians 4:2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. That's foundational to the Christian life. Are you faithful? Notice that it is required, not suggested. It is required. Are you faithful? No matter to what God has called you to, are you faithful? Let me quote. "Moreover, the fidelity required of stewards seems to be adverted here in order to show that the apostles acted from a higher principle than a desire to please man or to be regarded as at the head of a party. They ought so to esteem them as bound, like all stewards, to be faithful to the master whom they served. It is required. It is expected of them. It is the main or leading thing in their office. Amity in that office, fidelity is required as an indispensable and cardinal virtue. Fidelity to the master, faithfulness to his trust, as the virtue by the way of eminence is demanded there. In other offices, other virtues may be particularly required. But here, fidelity is demanded. This is required particularly because it is an office of trust. Because the master's goods are at his disposal. Because there is so much opportunity for the steward to appropriate those goods to his own use. What one is in little things, he is also in great. I love that last sentence. What one is in little things, he is also in great. If you're not faithful in little things, you're not faithful in big things. Many times God will allow things in our lives that just don't seem right. And yet God brings those things to see if we're going to still be faithful. It's easy to be faithful when life is good and going the way we want and the things we like. Wait until God says, "Let me change your circumstances. Now are you faithful?" Now, when life does not go as we wish, then our faith is tested and our faithfulness is revealed. Consider when life doesn't go our way. Proverbs 14:12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Let us read another proverb, 16:25. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Do you want me to explain the difference between the two? There is none. Why did God repeat himself? To open our eyes for emphasis. There are going to be things in your life that just seem confusing. And in our limited thinking, we say, "No, there's a better way." He said, "No, that's death. Trust me. Have faith in me and be faithful even when it doesn't make sense. Even when it's something else totally makes sense to us. We need to trust God. Did you know God has a plan for you? And He is going to work to train and to prepare you to fulfill that purpose. That's why it's so important that we find the will of God for our lives. And by the way, He wants you to know it. I hope you know right now what God's will is for you right now. Because if you don't, guess what? You probably won't fulfill it. God wants us to know His will. He doesn't want us one day to wake up in heaven and go, "Oh, wow, that's what you had for me." When we stand before the throne. And the will of God will, shall I say, change. As you're a young person, you're a student. As you get older, you're an entry-level employee. As you get older and ministries and life unfolds, you become all the more aware of what God had for you. And God knows that plan. He wants you to know that plan, and He's going to prepare you for even greater things as you go down the road. And it is that we need trained, and He trains us in little things. And then He develops and lets those grow. The problem is, too many times Christians think they don't need the training. They don't need the little things. They're ready for ministry now. Proverbs 16:2. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits. We all think we're ready. And God says, "You're not ready. And I'm going to train you in little things. And if you won't be faithful there, you're not going to be faithful in big things." Therefore, we must see the importance of being faithful in little things, because this is how God works. In the little things, we are trained, and in the faithfulness in little things, our spiritual maturity is revealed to other people. Did you know that as a church, and we look for people for jobs, we look for faithful people, because that's what God says to look for. Jesus taught this, Luke 16:10, "He that's faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much." If a person's not faithful in little things, he's not a good choice to be given a big job. It is so important that we're faithful in little things. He that is unjust in the least is also unjust also in much. Thus, we must understand and see the importance of being faithful in little things. Our study today is going to look at the life of Joseph and see how he was faithful in little things. The Old Testament many times illustrates what the New Testament clearly states. We saw there in Luke 16:10, New Testament, Christ clearly said you need to be faithful in little things. The story of Joseph is going to illustrate by that man's life where he was faithful in little things. So let us today consider Joseph as he illustrates the importance of being faithful in little things. The first thing I want us to understand about this popular story in Scripture is God had a plan for Joseph, and that was he was to become the prime minister of all Egypt, the most powerful nation on the earth at that time. That was God's plan. Now, he gave Joseph an inkling of something was coming by the dreams that he had. Genesis 37:5. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said, "Here I pray you this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose, and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf." So Joseph, and again, there was another dream. There's, I understand, a selected portion there to help you get the point. Joseph was given a foreshadowing. Something is coming in a position of leadership and authority. But he wasn't told he's going to be prime minister of Egypt. But he knew God had plans for his life, and that's okay. We're allowed to know that, that God has things and purpose for us to do. But Joseph surely needed training. He was a young man. He was 17 years old. The training that was coming for him was going to be very hard. The truth is, what God had for him was going to be very difficult and very unpleasant. And yet Joseph passed the test because he was faithful in little things. Key points I want us to see before we develop the story of Joseph anymore, I want you to see a couple key points so that you pick them up as we go through the study. First thing I want you to get for Joseph is something that none of us like. Many decisions, most major decisions, almost all decisions in Joseph's life were made by other people. How many of you like to be controlled? He's 17 years old, and his brothers decided, "You need to be a slave. Oh Lord." When he got to Egypt, Potiphar decided, "You're going to be the head of my household servants. But don't you know my skills? Young man, do what you're told. I have the authority over you." The Egyptian court decided for Joseph, "You need to be in an Egyptian prison." You know, one of the things we don't like is have somebody else making our decisions. And God says, "Trust me. I'm training you, Joseph." To make him a leader, he's going to make him a tremendous servant. Because if you cannot serve, you cannot lead. The second thing I want us to get, Joseph never complained. There is no record he ever complained. The third thing I want us to see as we consider this story, Joseph always did his best, no matter what his circumstances were. And therefore, Joseph was fully trained and got the blessings and purpose in life that God had for him. Therefore, I want us to consider four aspects of this young man's life. Genesis 37:13, we see Joseph's faithfulness at home. It started faithful in little things at home. Genesis 37:13, and Israel Jacob said unto Joseph, "Do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them." And he said, "Here am I." He obeyed. Dad said, "Joseph, go out there and find your brothers and see how they're doing." And he sets out. His journey would surely be lonely. His journey would be potentially dangerous. Wild animals, robbers, accidents, weather. And yet he obeyed. He obeyed. And I want you to get this too. He truly determined to fulfill his responsibilities, because there came a point he was just wandering in the field. I have no clue where these guys are. And he didn't turn around and go home and say, oh, by the way, Dad, I couldn't find him. Hope that's okay. He said, you know what? My dad sent me on this job. I'm going to fulfill it. And he applied himself and he found this man. Hey, have you seen my brothers? Yeah, they're that way. And that certain man directed him because he was faithful to the job that he was given by his father. And he met a certain man, the scriptures tell us. And that meeting changed his life forever, because he found his brethren and they sold him into slavery. Are you sure this is God's will for my life? Yes. Yes. Although the path was very difficult, although it was surely a way that does not seem right unto man, God said, Joseph, they're going to take you to Egypt. You're going to be a step closer to being the prime minister. Do you think he could recognize that as a slave following behind, chained on that caravan as they marched to Egypt? Folks, many times God's will not make sense for you. And he says, are you going to be faithful? Do you trust me? The hatred of the brothers worked God's perfect will. Oh, folks, trust God and be faithful. I want us to see Joseph's faithfulness at Potiphar's house. He was faithful to his father, and that faithfulness led him to slavery. Well, this is dandy, isn't it? Now, he's going to Potiphar's house. He has been purchased by Potiphar. Read Genesis 39:2. And the Lord was with Joseph. He was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Can we back up? Let me read that again. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. Excuse me. I have just been taken away from my family and my homeland, and you say I'm prosperous? Yes, because God is with you. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian, and his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight and served him, and he made him overseer over his house. And all that he had, he put into his hand. God has been the one. God is the one that called Joseph to be a servant in Potiphar's house. Against his will. I didn't choose this. And yet in that position, he did the best that he could. I'm going to be the best servant I can. And God blessed him such that other people recognized it. He wasn't out there complaining, being bitter. You see, had he been bitter, life would have been much different. God could not have blessed him. God could not have let his light shine, if you will, before the Egyptian house. They would not have seen the testimony that was there for them. God could not and would not have blessed him. And yet, Joseph's trust in God was noticed even by the Egyptians. At the end of verse 3, and the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Even Potiphar's house, an unsaved man, he was blessed because of Joseph. Are people blessed wherever you go? I hope they are. And yet, here is Joseph, faithful here, and God says, now I got more training for you, Joseph. Okay. Verse 7, Genesis 39. Came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath into my hand. No, I won't do this. Well, that's easy. She threw an unjust charge against him for immorality. He was brought before Potiphar and sentenced to prison. Okay, so let's see. I was faithful to my dad and they threw me into slavery. Now I have been faithful in Potiphar's house and it lands me in jail. Are you going to be faithful in little things? What did it matter that I was faithful in Potiphar's house? God says, be faithful. Trust me. But it doesn't make any sense. God didn't say it would make sense. He said, trust me. Genesis 39:19. It came to pass when his master heard these words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's masters took him and put him in the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and there he was in prison. Another test. Joseph, are you going to be faithful in the prison? Earthly speaking, his obedience to little things has done nothing but make his life worse. What's it matter? And God says, will you be faithful in little things? Let us consider Joseph's faithfulness in prison. Verse 20. Joseph's master took him, put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it prosper. Sounds like what happened in Potiphar's house, doesn't it? Because now he's come from one man's house, apparently it must have been a fairly substantial house, but now he's over a whole prison. See, he was faithful to his father at home. Then he was faithful to Potiphar, a larger home. Now he's in a prison and he has been put in charge there because he has passed the test at home. He passed the test in Potiphar's house. God says, I can trust you with bigger things. But if you're not faithful in little things, you're not moving on to bigger things. And so it is, the Lord was with him, and he prospered wherever he went, and he's over the whole prison. And how many times do we fail because it's not our will that's being done, but God's will, and we kick against that because we have desires, and we want God to use us this way, and God says, no, I'm going to use you this way. I have formed you and molded you and prepared you for this. Oh, that we would submit to the will of God. Let us consider the faithfulness now of Joseph in the palace. He's in prison, and we have to understand the story. The Pharaoh's butler and chief cook or baker were thrown in prison. They have a dream. Joseph interprets the dreams. The one that the butler would be set free and restored to his position, and the other, the baker, would die. Both came true. And Joseph, when he talked to the butler, interpreted the dream, there in prison, he said, would you remember me when you're back before Pharaoh? And the butler forgot him for 2 years. Okay, Lord, I will continue to be faithful for 2 years in this prison. Surely he must have wished in the back of his mind, would you please bring it to the butler's mind to remember me? Well, after 2 years, there came a dream to Pharaoh of the coming famine and the years of prosperity. The prosperity would be first, the famine second. But the key to this is, Pharaoh had a dream, but nobody could interpret it. And the butler says, hey, wait a minute, there's a guy in jail. He can interpret dreams. And Joseph has done nothing but just stay faithful and did his best in prison. And when in God's timing, all of a sudden, can you imagine the shock in this man's life? From prison to all of a sudden, hey, clean up, buddy. Pharaoh needs you. Now. And all of a sudden, he comes and stands before Pharaoh, and he interprets the dream. I want you to get one of the key points in Joseph's life when he interpreted that dream before Pharaoh and his court. I want you to get this. He gave God the glory. He didn't take it himself. Genesis 41:16. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, underline it, it is not in me, God shall give. He repeats it, Genesis 41:25. Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one, God hath shown Pharaoh. Genesis 41:28, at the end of the verse, What God is about to do, He showeth. And in Genesis 41, 32, and for that dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice, it is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. It's not me! I can only be faithful in little things. God has given me this insight right now to interpret your dream, but it's not me. It's God. It is for us to be faithful in little things. He could have said, you're right. Do you know who I am? I'm so wise, you need to get me out of here. Out of this prison and into palace. And he said, no, I'm going to give God all the credit. Because God has directed my past all these days, He's going to direct me even here. And so it is. He humbled himself and gave God the credit. And so it is then, Joseph was elevated. Take a look at Genesis 41, 41. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. That was God's plan, and it's now complete because Joseph was faithful to his father. He was faithful in Potiphar's house. He was faithful in the prison, and now he is called because he can be entrusted to be faithful even over the whole land of Egypt, the greatest nation on the face of the earth at that time. Let us conclude then by looking at some lessons. First thing, Joseph submitted his will to a cause greater than his personal desires. God had to break him as Christ said the words, not my will, but thine be done. And he was found faithful to not his will, but the will of God the Father. Surely God forced some ambitions of others on him, but God used it for good. Joseph learned to trust God. He learned that the path was often hard and confusing, but God was there. And he also learned this, give God time. Joseph was faithful in little things, which led him to greater things. Had Joseph not cooperated with God's plan, then he would not have enjoyed God's purpose and blessings for his life. Imagine, at home, no, Dad, I'm not going to go to my brothers. They hate me. Imagine in Potiphar's house, no, I'm not going to be a good slave. I don't deserve this. Imagine in the prison, don't you know who I am? I'm an innocent man. I'm not about to serve you guys. He would have never been called to Pharaoh's palace. 13 years Joseph suffered, and God honored it because he was faithful in little things. I want you to realize the key to this. Joseph always did the same thing no matter what his circumstances were. I am going to be the best son I can. Father, you want me to go look for my brothers? I'll go look for my brothers. He did the same thing with Potiphar. You want me to tend to your house? I will do the best that I can in tending to your house. When he was thrown in prison, he did the same thing. I am going to be all that I can to be the best prisoner I can possibly be. And therefore, he has proven himself, he has grown and matured, and therefore, he did the same thing as the prime minister of Egypt. I am going to be the best prime minister I can possibly be. You see, one of the lessons we learn from this is Psalm 75, 6. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. You be faithful in little things. Don't worry about it. We don't have to fight to climb the corporate ladder. We need to submit ourselves to the hand of an almighty God and be found faithful in little things. Because God sees, even in a prison, even as a slave in someone's house, even in the quietness of your home, God sees your faithfulness in little things and He promotes according to His will. Therefore, let us remember the words of Jesus Christ, Luke 16:10, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. Christian, be faithful in little things and watch God bless. Obviously, this message speaks to believers. But where does a Christian life begin? It begins at salvation. Let that hand represent you, me, and every person. Let that billfold represent sin. God says, I love you, I hate the sin. There are people that think they're Christians, but they've never understood the foundational gospel. Where does the Christian life begin? It begins when we realize God loves us, but He hates our sin, and all of us have sin. And that sin separates us from God. And until this issue is settled, messages like today don't pertain. We need, first of all, to be saved, is the expression we use. You see, getting rid of that sin debt is not a matter of walking aisles, raising hands, going to church, giving money, or whatever you deem to be good works. There are no good works that could ever satisfy that. And God knows that, and so it is that sin separates us from God. And in His love, He saw our helpless condition, He knew our helpless condition, He sent Emmanuel, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, to take the sin debt of the whole world, past, present, and future, for every man, woman, and child. He paid in full. On the cross of Calvary, He rose again the third day, paid in full. How do you go to heaven? When you realize in the quietness of your mind, I get it. I have a sin debt that I cannot satisfy. And I trust completely, entirely, and exclusively in the work of redemption done by Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. I trust that and that alone for my eternal salvation. I get it. It's not my works, it's what Jesus did. The moment you believe, God knows your thoughts, you're born again. For God so loved the world, that's you, but He hates your sin. He so loves you that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, take the sin debt of the world, to take your sin debt and my sin debt, personally. And whosoever sinner believes in His work of redemption, and that alone, shall not perish, go to hell, but have everlasting life. Salvation is when you get it. I have a sin debt that I cannot satisfy in my flesh, and I trust Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, the only one that could pay my sin debt. I trust His work of redemption, His shed blood. That alone, the moment you believe that, you have everlasting life.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.